You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Jason Tatum bouncing back and then some, leading the Seas to a Game 4 win and evening the series with 31-8-5 after not defending home court in Game 3 and not showing up as we're accustomed to seeing him with just 10-6-4. Tatum redeeming himself and then some. Jason, how you feeling?
Obviously, I was ready to get back to play, but, you know, I didn't doubt myself. You know, I know how to play basketball, and regardless how many points I scored, just trying to come out and help us get a win, you know, that was just most important.
Tatum has averaged to under 21 points per game in losses this postseason, but has taken his game to another level in games after a loss, averaging over 32 points per game in that situation, so the man knows how to rebound. That is the most in a single postseason in Celtics history. Big Perk back here with us. J.J. Redick back here with us. You know what, Perk? I'm going to start with you. Can the Celtics trust Tatum to carry them to a series win?
Yeah, Molly. Without a doubt, look. He got him this far, okay? Once he got past Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, then went moved on and got past Giannis Antetokounmpo, who in my eyes is the best player, the most dominant player in the world. When he was able to match Giannis 40-20 and he had that 46-piece wing dinner all flats, look, if Jason Tatum could get past those in those two series, there's no doubt in my mind that he can't get past this Miami Heat team and a hobbled Jimmy Butler. Not let alone, he's on the verge of actually getting past Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. Look, this guy's just that elite. 6'10", could do it all, zero flaws in his game offensively. Now he's taking a step to another level of making guys around him better. Hell yeah, he could carry this team to the finals.
Yeah, I totally agree with Perk. I definitely think he can be trusted. He has gotten them this far. In terms of the bounce back game, yeah. I saw an interesting stat this morning. So since mid-January, mm-hmm. he has yet to play in back-to-back losses. That's a stretch of 41 games. Coming off a loss, coming off a bad game, he's averaging 32 mm-hmm. and shooting 51% from the field. I go back. This is why I think it's different. Like, we were talking about Bam earlier in terms of that up and down, him having a good game, him having an off game, him having a good game. That's not who Jason Tatum is. Yes, there are some head-scratching games mixed in. I go back to the Milwaukee series. He had 10 points. Mm-hmm. The next three games, he goes for 30, 34, 46. Yep. You know, my expectation mm-hmm. is that he will continue to play like he played last night, and he will help close out this series for the Boston Celtics.
Don't disagree with y'all at all. I will throw this caveat in there, though. I think the Boston will win this series in 7 games. I think Tatum will have 2 great games and 1 stinker. That's what I expect.
You expect a stinker.
I expect him to have 1 game that's reminiscent of what we saw in Game 3. I expect him to explode those other 2 games and deliver the goods in this series. That's what I think that you've come. Not to say that there can't be 3 straight games, because we've seen them do it before. But more often than not, what we get from Jason Tatum is elements of greatness, but some more inconsistency. There's nothing to question his talent. Brother can handle. He can shoot. Got a long-range shot. Got a mid-range shot. Can finish at the basket. It's athletic, long. Defense, plays on both ends of the floor. Offensively better than defensively, obviously. But in the end, I think that because of the toughness of Miami and how physical the referees mm-hmm. allowed the yeah. game to be periodically, that's what you're going to see. I remember in Game 3, they win Game 3. And last night I'm on NBA Countdown with Will Bond and Jay Rose and Malik, who did a great job filling in for Greeny because he was out sick. And I said, excuse me, y'all, this is Game 4. Boston's down 2-1. They going to get the calls tonight. And at halftime, they had 26 free throws to Miami's 9. It wouldn't surprise me at all if roles were reversed and suddenly Miami's getting an exorbitant amount of calls mm-hmm. and Boston is not. I just see this series being something where Jason Tatum will struggle in one game and he'll explode in the other two, and Boston wins the series.
I just want to follow up on that. Steve, yeah. Don't you think, though, that in regards to free throws and calls, so much of that is manifested by the demeanor or the mindset or the force that a team plays with?
I agree.
The Miami Heat in Game 3, they were the more forceful team. Right. In Game 4, from the jump, mm-hmm. the Boston Celtics were more forceful. To me, it wasn't about getting calls. It was like, I'm going to put the officials in a position. I'm going to put my head
down. That's where the analytics hurt you. And here's what I mean by that, JJ. You're absolutely. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to say it. You're right. But you know good and damn well there are times in the playoffs where you walk in and it's very, very clear. This ain't y'all day with the officials. It happens. We've been watching it for decades. You know it's true. If either one of y'all as players deny it, I'll never be more angry at y'all if y'all try to deny that. You know it's true. There are games where the officials, you just ain't getting the calls, and you know it. It happens all the time in the playoffs.
Perk, get in here.
I'm not saying I'm denying it. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but it didn't happen last night.
I didn't say that either. I'm not saying it happened.
But what JJ is saying is this, though, Stephen A. I know he had Stan Van Gundy as a coach. I had Doc Rivers. I had some other coaches. You had Doc too. They all used to tell us, hey, how you establish yourself from the beginning of the game is how the refs are going to call the game for you. If you come in and you become a jump shooting team, and this has been Boston Achilles heel all season long, especially Jason Tatum. When Jason Tatum comes into the game and he got his head down and he's lowering those wide shoulders and he's going through the chest of people and getting to the basket, he sets the tone. When Jason Tatum comes into the game and he's giving us that bag and he's giving us those sidestep three-point shots and step backs and things to that nature, and then he wonder why in the third and fourth quarter he's not getting calls, it's because he didn't establish his presence from the jump. I thought last night the way he was aggressive and attacking the basket, he established the way that the Celtics were going to play from the jump. And that could play a huge role, where it does play a huge role, in the way that the officials officiate the game.
Y'all both play for Doc Rivers. And obviously, you play for a few coaches as well. Okay, both of you have. Stan Van Gundy included and others. Y'all know, this is just a little reporter over here. I mean, I wasn't talented enough to play on the next level like my two esteemed colleagues here. I'm just a little reporter just reporting on the game. But who do you think the coaches come to tell us about the officials? How you got to prepare your team, because this night you ain't going to get these calls. And we knew coming into this game that we weren't going to get our way and it was going to be called this way. And the players got to just, but damn, how many times have coaches caught blisters on their tongue because they had to bite their damn tongue because it wasn't what they wanted to say about the officials, but couldn't because they wanted to keep their money in their pocket. We all understand from y'all vantage point, basketball parlance, you're absolutely right. There's nothing to dispute. But we also understand that games get called differently come playoff time from game to game. It's not consistently called for 7 games of a series. We know that. And it ain't going to be consistently called for this series. Watch.
Well, just one follow-up point on that, Stephen A., and that's because there's different crews for every game.
Right.
You have to know going into a game how that official calls the basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you a great example of this. They talked about it on the broadcast the other night during Game 3 of the Mavs-Warriors series. Draymond is allowed to talk a lot on the court.
Mm-hmm.
And he had an interaction with Mark Davis early on. Mark doesn't play it. Like, Mark does not play it. He'll give you a little rope, but if you follow up with him, he's going to tee you up. And that's one example. But there are referees. Perk, you know this. There are referees that I knew
Steve
going
Gavis,
into a game.
Joey Crawford,
I'm not going to get certain calls on my rip-throughs or coming off picks when a guy holds me. Like, I knew that ahead of time.
Here's the problem that I have, and I've been waiting to address this. You know what? And this goes for Stephen A. and JJ, okay? When it comes to Draymond, we all have a problem of holding him accountable, except for me. And when I say that, I say that to say this, okay? I'm watching game three, I believe it was, when he was having a horrible game. I believe he had 5 points, 5 turnovers, 5 fouls. I believe he fouled out of the game. It was just some crazy things he was doing. He had already picked up 1 technical foul. And I'm watching him, and I'm watching the way that he was addressing and talking to the referee as he picked up his 5th foul from the sideline. And I'm saying, at what point are you going to eject him? And never got an ejection. I mean, he was calling them everything under the sun. And so then I'm waiting, I'm checking the internet to see, when did somebody actually go say something to him about his actions or things to that nature? Nobody said a damn word. Turn on the TV, nobody said a damn word. So the thing is this. I done came to the conclusion that Draymond actually got everybody spooked to say something about him.
Let me address Big Perk. Don't go there. The fact of the matter is, some people just don't feel the way you feel. That's number one. Ain't nobody scared. Yeah, but you keeping it real. That don't mean you keeping it right. The fact of the matter is, ain't nobody scared of Draymond. We just don't happen to believe what you believe. Like, for example, you just brought up how you said he was calling the referee everything under the sun. Let me tell you what I see when I see Draymond going off. And I have spoken to Draymond in the past about keeping his cool. I didn't like the fact that I didn't think he deserved to get ejected from the NBA Finals. I thought that cost him a championship. But I also feel like he should improve his jump shot. And I've said these kind of things to him over the years. What I would say to you about this, I don't see a Draymond, and maybe I'm missing it, JJ, because obviously being the astute basketball mind that you are, you would know better than the rest of us, right? So I would throw this to you, JJ. The bottom line is this. When I see Draymond Green going at a referee, an official, what I see is him arguing over the merits of a call. I don't see the name calling that you said you see. I don't see that. I see him going off about the call and arguing constantly and incessantly. And I'm not saying he shouldn't get teed. I'm not even saying he shouldn't get thrown out sometimes because of it. But you acting like he's just calling them all kinds of names. I didn't see that.
Draymond does the same thing that we were just talking about with how teams establish a force and force the officials to make certain calls throughout a night. He comes at the officials every game, every night, from the beginning. And so there's some leeway there. There's inherent leeway. It's the same thing if you know a player is going to drive, or P.J. Tucker is going to be physical defensive. It's the same thing.
They don't keep the same energy for DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay.
I didn't watch Cousins get thrown off of way less.
All right. Fair fact. I wanted to let you get that off your chest. I was supposed to wrap like 5 minutes ago, so let's roll now. When we come back here on First Take, please don't look at me like that, Stephen A.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steph Curry and the Warriors cooking at this point. Just one win away from bouncing the Mavs and returning to the NBA Finals for the 6th time in 8 seasons. That is impressive. Teams to take a 3-0 series lead are 146-0 all time. Golden State hopes to finish it off with a sweep tonight in Dallas. Big Perk back here with us. And Perk, I want to ask you this. What do the Warriors need to do to show they can win the 2022 title?
Well, continue to keep getting better on the defensive side of things, Molly. I mean, they haven't shot the ball extremely well from the three. Klay Thompson has been really inconsistent for us shooting the ball. But the thing I notice about the Warriors is that they've been hanging their hats on the defensive end, whether that's Otto Porter coming in and providing a spark off the bench and getting deflections and getting steals, whether it's Andrew Wiggins picking up Luka Doncic full court, turning them, making it hard on him, making life hell on him. Just think about this for a second. In game two, The Warriors were down 19 points. They came out in the second half and they held the Dallas Mavericks to 13 points. 13 points. Again, we could talk about shooting, we could talk about offense, but it all comes down to defending and being that defensive-minded team to try to win the title. And we go back and we can look at the past and look at all those three titles that the Golden State Warriors won. They still were up there at the top of the charts as far as defensive rankings in every category.
Yeah, I look at it sort of a different way, and I talked about this a little bit yesterday when I talked about the two potential matchups that the Warriors will face in the finals, and that is the Heat and the Celtics. And these are two teams that have a bunch of switchable parts and a bunch of size. And if you look at this Mavericks series, the Warriors have scored. They're scoring 120 points per possession, or per 100 possessions, which is basically better than the best offense in the league. Where they struggled offensively was against the Memphis Grizzlies, who is a hard-nosed defensive team that, for the most part, did a decent job switching in that series. Against the Celtics or against the Heat, both those teams have, all the way up to the five-man, guys that can switch. Those defenses are based upon switching. So this is not something that they have to learn. If you go back to who gave those Kevin Durant teams the most trouble in the playoffs, it was those Houston Rockets teams who built their defense specifically to play and hopefully beat the Warriors in the playoffs. And that's why I think scoring the basketball in these finals against these two defenses, that's going to be their biggest challenge.
I agree with both of you. I agree where Kendrick Perkins is talking about hang your hat on your defense because that's what's gotten you here. And throughout the years when they went to five straight NBA finals and they won three championships, JJ, a lot of people didn't give enough praise to their defense. As explosive as they were offensively, they were hellacious defensively. And we got to give Steve Kerr a boatload of credit because of what they've been able to do as a defensive unit. But I also get your point about needing to score more offense. Here's the thing for me where I'll crystallize it a little bit more. I'm a Klay Thompson dude. Klay Thompson is one of the greatest shooters the game has ever seen. I think arguably top three all time. Klay Thompson in his entire career has never shot in less than 40% from three-point range, just like Steph in the season. I'm not talking about the five-game Steph played during a lockout season. I'm talking about full season. The brothers never shot less than 40% from three-point range until this year. Klay Thompson came back this year. Obviously, he was struggling to get his groove back, got his groove back a little bit, has had some explosive games, particularly the closeout game is the latest example when they beat the Memphis Grizzlies in six games and he dropped 30. Klay Thompson shot 36% from three-point range that series, which is not shabby. This series against the Mavericks, he's shooting 27% from three-point range. That's not going to cut it when you talk about going up against Boston or Miami. The one thing that we need to say about both Boston and Miami is that if you're the Golden State Warriors, you need to bring your A game to beat them. You ain't going to beat them with your B game because they're going to get physical, they're going to get up in you, and they're going to do whatever they can to try and neutralize you because you got to remember, when we look at Jason Tatum, he's 6'9". When we look at Jaylen Brown, he's 6'6", 6'7". You know, you look at Al Horford, he's 6'10". You look at Robert Williams, about 6'10". Marcus Smart is a pit bull. We get all of that. Golden State Warriors is a finesse team. Looney, great game the other night, no doubt about it. Andrew Wiggins got some length on them. Klay Thompson, 6'7", Steph Curry, 6'3", Jordan Poole, like 6'3", 6'4", et cetera. Memphis showed you can get a little physical with them and thwart them a little bit. And when I look at it from that perspective, I'm saying the Golden State Warriors that I expect to win the championship is a Golden State Warriors that's going to be making perimeter shots. Because here's the thing that everybody needs to remember. The Dallas Mavericks ain't Miami or Boston. They have nothing on their front court defensively. They have no rim protection. They have no shot blockers. That's not a problem with Miami and Boston, especially Boston. Because both Horford and Williams can do that for you. And to me, if you're the Golden State Warriors, in order to beat them, you got to scorch them from the outside. And obviously pushing the ball up the court and exploiting them on fast breaks in the open court. That's going to be your two best ingredients in order for you to be able to beat them. Dallas is not the appropriate litmus test. And that comes with being able to hit shots.
Yeah, but you know what else the Golden State Warriors haven't faced a team that has a high IQ. And when you look at the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics, they both have a high IQ. And you need a high IQ in order to beat the Golden State Warriors. I heard J.J. point, he made a point for us with the communication on the switches and things to that nature when they played the Memphis Grizzlies. And you were right. But at sometimes it was getting them burnt. It was times where they were supposed to switch a high pick and roll with Steph Curry. And Steph Curry was getting wide open looks because they wasn't communicating switches. That's IQ. And so when I look at that Boston Celtics team across the board, high IQ, the Miami Heat, high IQ. And then on top of that, you have two exceptional coaches, especially in Eric Spoelstra and Ime Udoka, if you was to have to face one of them, who could put a hell of a game plan together, who have seen, when you look at Ime Udoka, he's seen Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. He just played against Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now you just played against the number one team in the Eastern Conference and had to battle against Eric Spoelstra if the Celtics go on to win this. So that's why I'm picking the Celtics to win, is just because of their high IQ and their versatility. But the Warriors can win if they hang their hats on the defense.
Let me add this, and then, J.J., I give you the last word. You know, good points, KP. Here's the deal, though. Celtics ain't face anybody like the Warriors. Let's go down the list. James Harden is gone from Brooklyn. Kyrie wasn't there half the year. That wasn't the Brooklyn team it was supposed to be. They hadn't been playing together all year long. You go up against Milwaukee. There's no Chris Middleton there. And so I look at that, and now you're going up against Miami. And obviously, I looked at TD Bank Garden, and it wasn't, as far as I'm concerned, that's the wrong name. What TD Bank Garden? JJ, it was TD Bank Infirmary. I mean, every damn body was going down. They started out the game. Robert Williams was going to be out. This game three I'm talking about here. Kyle Lowry obviously had to go back to the locker room. Jimmy Butler went down. Marcus Smart went down, looked like he broke his damn ankle. Got Trae Young tweeting props to the medical staff in Boston. I don't know what the hell they did to that dude. And then, of course, Jason Tatum looked like he had a separated shoulder before he ultimately came back out. Okay, so you had all of that stuff going on. With the Golden State Warriors, that's not necessarily the case. We know Gary Payton II has gone down. Jordan Poole's there, Klay Thompson is there, Steph Curry is there, Draymond Green is there, Andrew Wiggins is there, Kevon Looney is there. I'm just looking at the high IQ that KP alluded to, along with their personnel being in place. And Boston ain't phased not like that yet.
And now they're going to have a lot more rest, potentially, if they sweep tonight and the other series goes to a game seven.
Go ahead, Jake.
Molly, don't let him off the hook. He picked the Brooklyn Nets had to have something because you actually picked them to beat the Boston Celtics at seven, didn't you?
Yeah, he did.
Okay, then.
Yeah,
so they had to have something there.
They got swept. They got swept.
Yeah, okay. You know? Well, they had to have something that made you pick.
Perk, I'll work on that montage for you.
I appreciate the reminder, because you're just trying to offset what you said about Milwaukee. You had some
No. I'm just bringing up receipts, too.
Whatever.
I like what Perk.
I have more.
I like what Perk brought up about the basketball IQ part, because I talked about this during the Denver series. They didn't have the personnel with high basketball IQ outside of a couple guys to contain the Warriors when they got into their movement sets. Memphis, even, as good as they were this season, had so many breakdowns at the end of games. The perfect example of that is Klay Thompson's game winner, where Jaren Jackson Jr. is all the way back in the paint when he should be up to switch that screening action.
Preach.
The Heat and the Celtics, they do have basketball IQ. The Heat and the Celtics have great coaching. You talked about the A game. To me, whoever it is the matchup, both those teams, defensively, communication, their switching, all that stuff, they've got to be on their A game, while at the same time, the Warriors, to have any chance to win offensively, they have to be on their A game. It's a fascinating matchup either way.
We'll leave it there. Game four tonight. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. I got a quick take for you, though. Kevin Garnett took to his IG to share his thoughts on the Lakers coaching search, saying, man, are they serious? They're not serious about trying to better the situation with this list of coaches. And you get the rest of it. I won't say it all. But he's not happy. Stephen A., do you agree with KG's assessment of the Lakers coaching candidates?
Yes. My exception would be Darvin Ham, because everybody deserves a first chance to show their greatness. If people had that attitude about Mike Tomlin, we never would have recognized the greatness that he's exhibited in the NFL. But I will say this about Kevin Garnett. He is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the realest brothers alive. And if he says that, it's mirroring what most players think about those potential hires. The Lakers need to pay attention to that if they want to rebuild what they've lost.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it. Just a little quick take. That's all we got for the people. Coming up, Luka's team may be down in the West. I know. I couldn't believe you listened to directions.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Luka, the magic appears to have run out for the Mavs. Despite the best efforts of the Dallas superstar, the Mavs trail 3-0 against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. No team has ever climbed out of a 3-0 hole in NBA playoff history. Luka is the sixth player in NBA postseason history to score 40-plus points in consecutive games and have his teams lose each game. So here's the big question for Dallas fans. Marcus, where are you? Okay, so we've got Marcus here. Check. Okay, Kendrick Perkins is here. Stephen A.
Just make Molly, stop being petty. You are already being petty.
I just want to make sure, like, everybody's
here.
You know
damn well who on the show.
I'm glad you're not a Texas boy.
I'm glad somebody called out. She be trying to, slide stuff in there.
Louisiana.
That's what Molly be trying to do.
Yeah.
Listen, don't be mad at us because we are from Connecticut.
But I know what you was doing just now.
Okay, go ahead.
Nobody knows what I was doing right now.
Okay, every time Dallas come up, I got to be.
Let me make sure I get this question right.
Put your hands on your hip. Put your hands on your hip like you normally do to hold your back up.
No, it's not to hold my back up. Okay. Which Dallas teams get out of here? Which Dallas team brings fans a title first? That is the question. Is it the Cowboys or the Mavs? Should I start with the former Cowboys fan, the Cowboy hater?
Oh, Lord, you don't know what he
going to say. Marcus? Okay, the former Cowboy.
Go to Swag Good.
You know I'm going first, Molly Q. It's the Dallas Mavericks because it's
what?
The NBA. And we've seen this time and time again. What's the question? What team will win a title first? The Dallas Mavericks. One, the Dallas Mavericks have a piece that they're going to build around, and we may be only one or two away from them making it to a Western Conference final.
Oh, Dak
number
Fish
one.
Is watching.
Number two is when you look at the NBA, we see this time and time again. We just saw LeBron and AD go to L.A. after abysmal years and win a championship. It's about talent in the NBA, coupled with the right coach. Jason Kidd, to me, has a lot of talent in his hands when it comes to coaching based on where his team is right now. And then, two, Mark Cuban is the owner. He's going to exhaust what needs to be exhausted to bring players in for the Dallas Mavs.
Wow.
The Dallas Cowboys, on the other hand, we are sitting here questioning right now. Mm-hmm. Every year we question, is Jerry Jones doing the right thing to get the Cowboys in the correct position? Mm-hmm. Is the team good enough? We don't even know if they're going to win a division this year, let alone a damn Super Bowl. It's the Dallas Mavericks.
You know what?
Kendrick, let me get him. Let me tell you something, Swaggoo.
How you gonna get me?
This is a real punk move. This is a real punk move on your part. I mean, listen, Kendrick
Perkins. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm getting to that. Kendrick Perkins can say the mass. I can say the mass. You of all people. I mean, my God, you got to be kidding me. Is Dak Prescott the quarterback of this franchise? I think so, Molly. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, sure is.
Dak. All right, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott still running the football for this franchise? I believe so. Is CeeDee Lamb still on the squad? I think so. Michael Gallup
Stop.
Is still
you,
on the squad.
You lied. You are lying.
Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones, the billionaire. You got to be crazy.
No,
you going to
no,
sit up here.
I'm not letting you talk.
You're going to sit up there and go like this.
You
should be
I'm
ashamed of yourself.
Nope.
That is just weak. That is weak. And you know it. I can't believe this.
You see what's happening, Perk?
What's happening?
Perk, the Cowboys, all of that stuff he just
You ain't supposed to be agreeing with this.
All of that stuff this crazy man just mentioned about the Dallas Cowboys, Perk, ain't they been had that? What have they won?
Well, I tried to tell you that.
You be confusing me with Michael Irvin. That's what be happening. You be confusing me with Michael Irvin.
Listen. You're lying. I can prove it. Because that suit you're wearing is entirely too calm to be confused with Michael Irvin. No one can be confused with Michael Irvin. That's a one-of-a-kind dude right there. You understand what I'm saying? And with this tablecloth wear itself. I mean, what tablecloth design is
they
he
do
coming
be,
up
they be,
with?
They be terrible.
He's one of those dudes. Michael Irvin is one of those dudes that's going to grab the nearest tablecloth and sprinkle some sparkles on it and call that a new suit. We don't know what
He put the mirror up before he come on, be like, I'm going to kill him with this one today. Yep, looking like a pallbearer. That's how he's going to kill him. You catch a shrapnel, you ain't even supposed to be catching, man. My man, Mike.
Hell no, don't stop it. Don't apologize. Don't apologize.
hey, listen. I will say this, Wag. You might be a little disappointed in me, but I'm a little appalled by you right now.
That's right.
What you're saying is you're telling me that you have lost faith in one of your favorite quarterbacks and what you call, don't you call him Dakota Prescott? Don't you come on here?
Rain
I mean,
Dakota,
I watch you every day. I watch you every day. Me and you blew our thing on our part. I watch you on NFL Live every day. And to me, it's telling me right now, are you telling me you have lost faith in your quarterback, Dak Prescott? That's what you're telling me right now?
No. And first of all, since you want to fight nationally, because we be fighting on our podcast and then it go out
Which,
late
by the way, none of you have invited me to yet. But y'all got some. How the hell have I not gotten invited to the podcast? That's another thing.
This is what he don't understand.
We said before we started our podcast, we said, you know what? We're gonna start off without guests. But our first guest that we're going to bring on
was going to be Stephen A. Smith.
So just keep a cool booty.
We do want to be box office. We do want to be box office.
We do. So keep your booty.
What's up? You know what I'm saying? Call your brother. But go ahead.
Let me get back to Perk because he is. He done pissed me off in front of everybody today. Why we got to do this in front of everybody? You know we like to be private with our fights. Okay. One, you cannot say anything about losing confidence. You dropped the Cowboys for the damn Arizona Cardinals. You can't say nothing about dropping the Cowboys.
And I'm proud of it.
No, you ain't proud of it. Don't say you're proud of it in public. That hurt my feelings.
Living in Texas.
The second thing is, I have not lost faith in Rain Dakota Prescott. You know who I done lost faith in? And I done had a lot of faith that is reasoning for it. It's Jerry Jones. Okay, listen, y'all. Did y'all see all these moves all these teams made to get better this offseason? What Dallas did? I'll wait for y'all to answer that.
Save money.
See, in order to win a championship, you have to become better as a football team. And they ain't did that.
They did, I bet you, this offseason,
Mark Cuban will.
They did a big time thing. They had me do a commercial with Jeff.
They had you. I mean, that's the worst thing they could have did.
Let
me tell you about Big Bro. Let me tell you about Big Bro, Perk. He texts me, okay, when the thing dropped, talking about you sit. This is what he said. You sit on television and you fight for these Cowboys. You talk about how optimistic you are about them, and they call me to do their hype video leading into the season. They want to fail. They want that. They like it. The misery, they love it. If they gonna invite him to do a damn video leading into the season for the schedule release, they like turmoil.
Hold on. Speaking of videos, I think it's only
you
appropriate
ain't supposed to be nowhere
that I end this segment with this.
Make me sick.
Show it.
Oh, my God.
This dude here.
Because of video.
I mean, you brought up videos. I mean, who am I to deprive? I'll never get tired of this video. It's beautiful.
Good.
It's beautiful. Molly,
look at us.
Molly, I mean, you look like that with that wig on and those glasses, Molly. I mean, you know, that's what you would. Yeah, look at it right there. That's why they called me to do the video.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
We already know he didn't win Hollywood on us, right?
Yeah.
But when he go down to Miami, it's a whole nother Stephen A. I called his phone to ask him about, we had to talk business.
Yes.
Let me tell you how he answered the phone.
Okay, tell me.
Stephen A. Smith speaking.
He said Stephen
A. Smith. He said Stephen A. Smith speaking. Nah. What the truth is that I answered the phone with the Miami music in the background. That's what I did. I was chilling. I was on Biscayne Bay when he called me. I was literally leaning on a yacht, you know.
What time you leaving today?
Leaning on a yacht.
Yes, it wasn't mine.
You were just leaning on a random yacht.
On Biscayne Bay. On Biscayne Bay. You better ask somebody. They'll tell you.